Are you happy in your business? Now, I have had my share of emotional ups and downs in my 20 years of being a solo entrepreneur coach. And the patterns I've seen in myself and in my clients is that those downs are usually when I was personally feeling unfulfilled. Sometimes it was because a launch that flopped, and sometimes it was just life and had nothing to do with business. But those ups, oh boy, those are the times when I was feeling my most authentic and completely aligned to my purpose, or when I just felt like I was rocking that work-life balance. I would be thinking, I could do this all day long and never feel tired. One of my loves is sharing what works for me and what has been working for my clients to achieve this very feeling, full of passion, happiness, peace, and freedom. So I decided to create a private podcast for coaches. Maybe you just want to develop better communication skills that boosts engagement, leads to better results, and makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the lives of the people you serve. Then you're invited too. We talk about this and more in the UBU private podcast for coaches. Whether you're a mentor, a parent, or run a client-focused business, coaching skills benefit everyone and anyone who wants to communicate in a way that builds relationships. Fall in love with your life and business again. Click the link in the show notes for your invitation to join us right now. Then come back and enjoy this episode. Hey, Difference Maker. In this episode, we are continuing the I Quit conversation with my twin, Jody O.C. And this is a good one. You might actually be knocked between the eyes if you're currently feeling burned out, either physically, mentally, emotionally, or as Jody says, spiritually. If this episode speaks to you, please let me know. You can find me on the socials at Power Coach Jen. Or if social media is one of those things that are on your I Quit list, just go to powercoachjen.com and click on my face and let me know what you've decided to quit in 2023. I would love to cheer you on. Now, just as a reminder, Jody is an Enneagram Type 8 Manifesting Generator and a 5-1 Heretic Investigator. And I am an Enneagram Type 7, a Generator, and a 6-2 Role Model Hermit. Now, I've only been implementing the human design into my business since the fall of 2022. And so this part of the conversation, I do kind of mess up and I flip-flop the words a little bit, but you get the gist. Let's go ahead and get started. It's time to stop comparing yourself to others and plug into what is uniquely you. Welcome to Unbox Your Personality, the podcast for coaches, creatives, and educators like you who understand that your happiness makes you more effective at what you do, bringing out the best in others. I'm Jim P. Higgins, personality strategist and Enneagram fluff remover. Get laser focused on who you are and who you aren't so you're free to make the impact you were born to make. And have fun doing it. Your personality is your business. So let's get down to business.
So I'm just trying to think what else that I've quit or I am quitting.
I was looking at the rest of my list. I have pretentiousness in the parentheses. And then under that, I have performance mindset. So like quitting the performance mindset. Well, first of all, this year and starting season 5 of the podcast a little bit differently by having Jody, my twin. I'm going into this year of restoration, and really on purpose, intentionally not working as much as I have been. And there's a lot of things that are kind of driving that desire to have like a Sabbath year. And most of it is because, you know, I've got some family illnesses that I need to be prepared for. And my kids are both attending new schools in the fall. Emptiness is coming up and just needing to kind of restructure what this season of my life is going to look like. And with my human design, I am a hermit role model. And so this is the time of the 6-2 hermit role model to come out of the introvert shell and step into role model mode. And what's really motivated me is really looking to see, am I proud of how I'm presenting myself? Like, if what people are seeing of me, is that what I want to model to other people? And it's really forcing me to look at that. And as a type 7, I have to step back and observe. I can't just keep pushing forward and pushing forward like I'm prone to do. And sometimes I don't know when I'm being pretentious or being perceived as pretentious, right? Until I step back and look at it. And even this performance mindset, I feel like, you know, in the Western Hemisphere, this is kind of a USA, the American dream mindset, is this performance mindset that the better you perform, then the happier you are. And I know firsthand in my experience, I don't always experience that. The better I perform, honestly, I feel like the lazier I get because I'm just like, okay, that worked. Maybe lazy is not the right word, but maybe kind of a been there, done that kind of attitude and wanting to move on.
Like a complacency?
It's not even really a complacency. It's just more boredom. It's like been there, done that, like check, accomplish that. Let's find a new challenge. And I think when I get caught up in a performance mindset instead of what makes me happy, which is a new challenge, a new project, a new skill, a new craft to do, that's what really lights me up. And I remember Terry even said that. He actually observed that in me before I was mindful of it. He said, you need short-term projects. And I'm like, I sure do. And this was even before we really got heavy into the Enneagram too. I was like, I sure do. And then whenever I learned that I didn't know I was a 7 at first, but when I eventually learned that I was 7, I was like, oh my gosh, this is why. This is why I need short-term projects. And it's not because of ADHD. It's not because of a short attention span. It's because I need the challenge. I need to collect more data. I don't want to collect data to just stare at it and go, look at the data. I went to business school, studied statistics and analytics, and it was fun to master at the time. But then once I graduated, I'm like, I cannot see myself doing this forever. I surely can't. I said, I think I majored in statistics to recognize that you, my husband, you would be a better statistician than me. You would be a better analyst than me. And he eventually went through the exact same program, graduated, and now, how many years later? I have to ask him when he graduated. I graduated in 98. So he would have graduated, I don't know, maybe a couple years after that, 2003, 2002 maybe. And now currently teaches in the business school statistics. And I think he's been there. I'm pretty sure he's been there since he graduated. He has always taught, but he's always done statistics since then. And that was going back to school. He already had a degree and a master's degree. So this was a second master's degree for him. So.
Clever man. While you're talking about performance, because I'm just reflecting too. So do you think, given that you and I are twins, that the decrease in how important performance is right now is actually life stage related, like, or age related?
I do. We've kind of talked about this midlife crisis kind of situation. What was your human design? Investigator? Heretic?
A manifestor.
Manifesting generator. Which is different, more social than just a straight manifester. Okay, what was the original question? Okay, stage of life. Okay, so for hermit role models, or just role models, which is a line 6 in human design, it comes in 3 stages. So the first stage is kind of the experimentation, where they kind of look like a line 3, which is very different than a type 3 Enneagram, just likes to experiment and do all the things and achieve and kind of a trial and error, like, does this work? No, that didn't work. Let me try this and let me try that. So very much a 7, like maybe stereotypical 7, but also that 3, a lot of drive and ambition. And that is like the first 30 years, kind of live that kind of life. And then from 30 to 50, it's more of the introspective. And so that's the hermit side, where they kind of withdraw, reflect on the experimentation years, and kind of assimilate the lessons that were learned. And then from 50 on is the role model stage. And that is when they really take on that role model, where they've made the mistakes, learned their lessons, and now they're going out and really teaching the world through their actions, not necessarily actually teaching, but like if the lesson learned was don't do anything but serve others, so volunteering or like be generous, if that was the lesson that was learned, then in the role model years, there would just be a lot of volunteering, a lot of just giving and serving. That's not every line 6 in the human design, but it follows that pattern. Whatever experiments they did, whatever lessons they learned, then the role model season will be doing that. For yours, it's not necessarily split up like that in sections, but it is the tendency to really ask a lot of questions. That's the investigator. The line 1 is investigator, asking a lot of questions. I can imagine that for a type 8, it feels like an Enneagram type 5 space. I think we had tried to explore the difference between you being a type 6 and a type 8. And you're like, no, definitely an 8 after we had asked a couple of questions. But I wonder if this investigator part kind of influenced that behavior, because, you know, Enneagram is based off of motivations. But that could have influenced that type of behavior. And then 5 being the heretic, like that kind of sounds like 8, doesn't it? Just kind of all by itself. But I think in general, around this time, this midlife crisis of, is it worth performing? I think in general, there's just this mellowing out at this age, because you realize, yeah, that wasn't worth it. I think the difference would be is that maybe you're not necessarily meant to play a role model role from this point on, but more of a communication role because of that manifesting generator type of your human design. And that could be around people, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. A role model has to influence people kind of by being visible, which is scary. Scary for a hermit, like introverted.
I'll say it sounds fabulous to me.
But I mean, definitely can be a role model, but I think it's going to be focused more on the way you communicate, because that's how your energy centers are lit up in your body graph.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I think upon reflection, and I think COVID, actually the timing of COVID and lockdowns and all that sort of stuff has kind of worked its way in with my stage of life when I'm looking at quitting. How did you define it around performance? You were quitting
the performance mindset.
The performance mindset. Because I think I identified probably around 8 or 9 years ago that I had jumped into almost an addiction obsession with personal development. And I was so plugged in all the time and wanting to be the best version of myself all the time. And really, really, it felt like it was saturated and huge learning in that. Spiritually, I felt exhausted.
Burnout.
Because I just felt like I didn't, with every success or every integration or I didn't stop and celebrate or integrate properly. I'm just like, oh, what's next? You know, I need to stop this. And I did a lot of black and white this is wrong about my personality, this is right about my personality, so I need to stop that. So I spent a lot of time within myself feeling that I was not good enough because I wasn't living up to this best version of myself that I had held for so long. And I did that for quite some time. And because of the spirit, I can only define it as spiritual burnout because that's what it felt like to my core. I basically went into, I almost identified it as going back to sleep because I was so tired of being plugged into this ideal version that just was always out of my grasp. And whilst I did love the personal development, I loved the learning, I loved, you know, the aha moments and watching the things, the changes I made improve my relationships and all that sort of thing, it was still really, really, I made it really, really hard work. And I feel like I've been in that space for probably like asleep. I know I haven't been because you can't unknow what you know. Feel like I've been asleep for probably, I don't know, about 3 years or so, maybe four. And of course, during that time, COVID has arrived, like all the impacts and that sort of thing of COVID. And I had my own experience of that, particularly being an eight, as our freedoms were taken away and all that sort of thing. But it really had me wake up and get really clear around what is important and what's not. And during that process, obviously, my grandson's been born, and it's actually more important to me now to work less, do less. By do less, I don't mean lay around.
Right.
Lay around and watch Netflix all day. I mean,
it's like do less of the stuff that doesn't bring you joy.
Yes. And it's almost like work smarter, not harder. But the smart is choosing what to work on.
Yes.
Based on what lights you up.
Yes.
Because everything else feels like fucking hard work and really, really tiring that I feel like I'm at the moment. I'm waking up from that little sleep, identifying that that quiet time and that introvert time and that time where I've given myself a rest from being plugged into this best version has also allowed me time and space to integrate what I had previously learned and watch how it comes out in me without me thinking, oh, I know how to do that, I'll do this. Like it's become part of my nature, the good bits that before were only a checkbox saying, yes, I've done that. Yes, I've done that. Yes, I've done that. So I'm not as spiritually tired as I was 4 years ago, but I'm tired for a different reason. I'm not tired because I've pushed myself to be the best version of myself for the last 5 years. And there's this version that I'm continually striving to be at. I'm tired because I'm tired of being asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting just thinking about how we define what best version is. How does the world define what best version is? And I think it's almost like a perfection and that we have to be perfect. And the truth is that we're not perfect and we're never going to be perfect. And when we have that expectation of being perfect, we're going to fail ourselves eventually. And if we're not prepared for that, then it can be quite a setback. And so one of the things, I don't know if you remember in my book, in my book, I talk about a pendulum and about how we can swing to the extreme sides and get really, really tired because we're going back, even if it's going back and forth between awake, asleep, that can be really, really exhausting. Where we really want to be is right in the center where the pendulum is resting. That's where rest is. Because we've had fitful sleeps before when we're technically asleep, but the quality of our sleep was really bad. And we know that we could be dog tired and then something comes along and lights our fire and all of a sudden we get a second wind. We're like, oh, this is exciting. That's here in the middle. To me, that's the best version when we're ready for any of the extremes, but we're also ready when we start swinging back and learning to be still and be able to, it's almost stepping outside of yourself so that you can see when you swing over here and when you swing over there and being neutral to it. That's really that place of rest, of this perfectly imperfect spot where you don't necessarily have to be spiritually burnt out or physically burnt out, but it's like the spiritual, your spiritual world and your physical world actually come together and they work in tandem together. And then one doesn't have to be burned out. You actually get to experience that rest when your pendulum is right in the center. To me, that's how I define what is my best version of myself. It's the adaptable version. It's the one, the ready version, the integrated version, where I'm not going to extremes, but I'm actually integrating the two. And I think that kind of goes back to the winners never quit and quitters never win, why it kind of feels yucky to me, because in this dual world where there's winners and there's losers, does that build relationship? Does that build happiness when there's a loser and a winner? Or is there more relationship and more happiness when there's a time to lose and a time to win, but it's not about performance?
Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's sexy stuff.
I'm too sexy for my stuff.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, we sure do have fun. I love Jody so much, and I thank her for sitting down with me to chat. The last part of our conversation is actually in episode 1 of season 5. So if you need closure on this conversation, be sure to go back and listen to episode 1 or re-listen to that episode and hear the rest of our I Quit list. This has been a very inspirational start to the season here on the podcast, and I've already recorded several fun episodes with other guests for the rest of the summer for solopreneurs that are needing more focus, for our spiritual and faith-based listeners, and for fans of The Crown on Netflix. Have you ever wondered about the royal family's personalities? Be sure to stay tuned for that. And in the fall, I'm excited to announce I'll be recording and publishing the audiobook of The Secret to Being You, Using Brain Science and the 9 Acknowledgement Languages to Unbox Your Enneagram. That's my book, by the way. And I'll be including commentary, because who isn't a bonus features junkie? Man, that is something I really miss about DVDs. Streaming service just doesn't include those anymore, do they? If you're not already, go ahead and add yourself to the Podcast Extras email list so you get the announcement when the audiobook is available. Until then, I'll see you next week as you continue to unbox yourself to unleash your power.
Thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing the Unbox Your Personality podcast. To learn more about yourself, go to powercoachjen.com. Find out how you are different, so you can make your difference.